Good morning, great souls. The reading this morning from Whispers from Eternity. Demand for calmness and activity. Father, teach me to be actively calmly active and actively calm. Let me become a prince of peace, sitting on the throne of inner poise, as I direct my kingdom of activity. This reading from Whispers, Let Me Become Calmly Active and Actively Calm, is really, in many ways, the bedrock of developing our soul intuition. There's a story of one of Yogananda's most advanced disciples, Rajarshi Janakananda, who was a self-made millionaire, and he said before he met Master, he was nervous all the time. Even when he first went to hear Master speak, he just couldn't stop moving and fidgeting. But then on the second night, he just became very still. And so he had many businesses, multi-million dollar businesses. He was on the board of many board of directors. And one time, another disciple of Yogananda, who was kind of his personal assistant later in his life, Durgamata, asked him once, you know, when you go to these board meetings, what are they like? You know, you have all these business people trying to figure out problems and solutions. You know, what are they like? And so he said, well, you know, I go there and I just sit very calmly, and everybody's arguing amongst themselves, trying to figure out what the solution is. And he said, I'm just practicing Hong Sa, not saying a word, or I'm watching the breath up and down the spine. They all tire themselves out trying to find the answer. And then they say, so Jimmy, what do you think? And I instantly give them the answer that came to me through my intuition. And they say, how do you always do it? And he said, I don't explain to them my process. But it was through his intuition that he just knew the answer directly. One of his business associates of decades said that Jimmy, in all my years of knowing him, James Lin was his name, he said, never once did I know him to make a bad business decision. And that's pretty amazing. And that's the purpose of intuition, is that, you know, when we ask somebody, what is your reasoning for making this decision, for going to this school, for taking this job, what are some of the reasons we give? Well, it's how I used to do things in the past. It's what I'm familiar with. And when Christ asked disciples, whom do men say that I am? What did they respond? You're one of the old prophets, John the Baptist or Elijah. You know, it was something that was familiar to them. We might say, I made this decision because it was practical, and that's a good reason. But, you know, as Master said, and this is a phrase that it's a very important phrase for us to remember, and we can, before we make any decision in life, if we keep this phrase kind of uppermost in our consciousness, it could really be helpful and beneficial for us. And that's reason follows feeling. Reason follows feeling. So often, what is our reasoning for doing something? It's because whether we're aware of it or not is associated with some sort of feeling within. Right? So we should be asking ourselves, what is that feeling we're following that's making us make this decision? Is the feeling agitated? Is it based in apprehension, anger, fear? Or is it based in a real sense of deep calmness? So really, then we have two choices before us, calm feeling or disturbed feeling. Intuition is calm feeling. As Master said, true intuition, and we'll talk about in a minute the other types of intuition, true conscious intuition is never wrong. It's always right. It's just a rocket that just knows right away, goes directly to the answer of what we're trying to look for. But disturbed intuition or disturbed feeling is like, you know, when you're driving and you have your GPS navigation system on and it says, make a left turn here. And you'd make that left turn and you realize that you shouldn't have gone down that abandoned farm road with all these cattle and therefore are led up to another road. and your intuition says you shouldn't have taken that route, and then all of a sudden you find yourself with a passenger with in a 15-passenger van with high school students. This was me. the road had ended, and you got a flat tire, and you're in the middle of nowhere. And so how often, you know, our inner navigation system is leading us in a way that's really not clear and true and calm. And so there was a disciple of Yogananda, Señor Corón, the SRF meditation leader in Mexico City, and he was really needing another job because his finances were stressed. So he got a job, and that was going to require him to leave the Mexico City meditation group. So he wrote a telegram to the master and said, "Can you please ask so-and-so to take over the center?" Master wrote back right away, "Under no circumstances accept that job." And so, well, he said, "Okay, I didn't understand, but I obeyed my guru." And so he didn't accept the job. A while later, he found in the papers that that whole company went down. Everybody went to prison for fraud, including the person who took his job. So it's probably seemed very reasonable to him that this is a practical job I need to take. But if he would have probably tuned into the different, on the deeper level of soul intuition, and that's what Master did, he was able to be saved from that. Back in 2016, I was in a similar position of my inner navigation system not being very clear with which path I should take. And this is when Nanda Devi and I were dating, and she was here for a while, and then for visa purposes, she had to go back to Argentina. She was away for 6 months. And then as she was away, I wasn't sure about the relationship. It was wonderful, we were very harmonious, but I just wasn't sure if it was the right thing. And so I got closer to the end of the 6 months, and I was gonna go visit her in Argentina. And my friend Ramesh was about to take me to the airport. And so I just, before he came and picked me up, I just sat before the altar, and I said, "Master, you gotta help me with clarity here, because if I'm still feeling this same way of being so unsure, I'm going to have to call it off for her sake, to not keep leading her down the wrong direction, and for mine." And in that meditation, I remembered something that my friend gave me that I hadn't thought about, and it was my friend Dharma Devi. And a year before, she gave me a ring, and she said, "You're going to need this." How did she know that? So I thought of it, and the last thing in my mind was that I was going to propose to Nanda Devi in the next few days. I mean, that was the last thing in my mind because I was so unsure. And so I took the ring, and I remember holding it up to a picture of Master, and I said, I'm taking this not because I'm going to do it, but because out of just faith and trust. So I go to Argentina, and within a few days, it made sense that, not just made sense, but it just felt right. I can't explain it any more than that. It was just that, although that unsureness of if this was the right relationship or not just kind of went away. And I remembered something that a spiritual counselor told me years before. And he said, spiritual relationships should be calming. And I remember that was really the main thing that was so uppermost in our relationships, at least from my end. I don't know from her end. And so looking at it from that perspective, it was such a deep sense of calmness, because calmness is really what we're trying to achieve in our meditation. So like that calm lake, we can see the reflected of our soul nature. And so we went into the rainforest a few days later. I put a ring on a flower, and the rest is history. And it's been very wonderful ever since, as far as I'm concerned. And so, you know, all this to say is, you know, really, how do we know when we have different feelings in our heart? Is it the right way to go or not? Again, using calmness as a barometer. And Yogananda said that there's kind of different gradations of intuition. He said the first one is crude intuition, the first kind of stage. And that's where our intuition is not very developed. It's kind of like you have a hunch about something. I think I should, you know, you know, invest in this business. I'm not sure why, but I do it, and it's a disaster. Or maybe it does work out once, and then because that you had that hunch once, it must be true every time, and it's really not at all developed. And then kind of the next stage up, you might say, is it's more of semi-intuition. I think that's something that all of us have here. It's more where, as Master said, there are these loopholes of calmness within our daily mental restlessness. And there's these moments of intuition kind of peep, peep, poke out. And maybe we're walking in nature and we are thinking of a friend and we haven't thought about it in years, and then we get an email when we get home and it's them emailing us. So this semi-intuition is still not quite trained yet. But maybe from the past, for us reasoning in a reasonable way and you know, calmly being calm with all of our decisions, it's more uppermost and present. There's a fun story that Yogananda told of this man who thought he had full intuition, but it was only semi-intuition. And Master said that he annoyed people all the time with his intuition. And so he thought it was important for him to go and help correct this man. And so he goes to his farmhouse, and this man are speaking together. And they heard footsteps approaching, and Yogananda said, "Who is that?" And the man got quiet. He said, "That is my uncle who is coming. I haven't seen him in for years, and he didn't write." So they opened the door, and sure enough, it was the uncle. And Yogananda asked the uncle, "Did you write?" He said, "No, I didn't tell anybody else coming." And the man said, "See? You see, my intuition is fully developed. It is not semi-intuition like you're saying." And Yogananda said, "Be very careful. Yes, you do have some intuition from the past, but you have not consciously practiced or trained yourself in intuition this life. And you need to practice it so that you can become firm in it." So another time, Yogananda went to this man's farmhouse. It was raining outside heavily. Again, they're inside talking to each other, and they hear this knock at the door. And Yogananda said, "Who's at the door?" And he said, "It's my brother. Go open the door." And Master said, "I'm not opening that door." And he ran away to the other side of the room. He said, "You open that door." He opened the door, and it was the bull outside. And he ran inside the house, and Master was able to get away. And he said, "See, there's your full intuition." So Yogananda gives us he gives different ways that we can start to develop this intuitive faculty, so we're not just relying on our reason or disturbed feeling. And one of the things he said, he gave different tips, but one of the most important things that we can practice is to, after we meditate, to hold on to the calm after effects of meditation. So we practice our techniques and just sit in the silence and just hold on to those calm after effects. And what does it mean to do that? And why do we want to hold on to this feeling that we've gotten after we've practiced our meditation techniques? Well, we're trying to tune in to the feeling of calmness that is soul calmness, that is different than a type of calmness that maybe we feel because we've had a glass of wine, or, you know, we took a nice warm bath, or nobody's bugging us. It's a different type of calmness than that. It's an uplifted sort of calmness. It's a calmness that has a different feeling to it. And we want to hold on to that calm after effect so we can habitualize ourselves to what that specific feeling of soul calmness feels like, so that when we're making decisions and before we make the decision, we can tune in and see if it's in alignment with that soul calmness vibration, as opposed to other feelings where I feel this is the right thing to do, but the feeling is disturbed. Maybe it's overly excited or overly anxious, or it's fearful. So I've been practicing this activity in my meditations recently, where I will sit in holding on to the calm after effects, I'll have my eyes closed after I'm meditating. I hold on to them, and then I open my eyes, but I still don't move. And I'm just scanning the feeling I'm having, that calm feeling, and just noticing and taking note of how it feels, very consciously. And then eventually I get up and I move, but still I'm getting up very quietly, very slowly, and holding on, trying to, I play a game where I see how long I can hold on to the calm after effects. And it's a fun game to play. It's really fun. Because you know that eventually we're going to get established in it. I'm not established in it yet, but eventually we all will. And then we're going to be, our decisions that we make in life are going to be more based in soul wisdom. And isn't that what we want? And so how often, you know, we make a decision that we think makes so much practical sense, but then it's just, maybe it's a little bit more windy than it should have been. And so Master also gives us tips for how to use our intuition when we have the problem in the moment. So these are five tips that he gave us, kind of a process for how to solve a problem with using intuition. The first thing he said is to sit down to meditate and be still. That's the first step. The second step, and I love this one, don't think about the problem. Don't think about the problem. So often when we have the problems, what do? We think about it. Our mind is overflowing. The cup of our consciousness is overflowing with all these reasons of how everything is going to go wrong. We can't, so often it's our level of consciousness that determines how we relate to things. And if our consciousness is still low, we're going to see things in a lower way, and we're just going to see problems. So step two, don't think about the problem. Step three, he said, meditate until you feel a deep calmness in every recess of your body, and the breath becomes very quiet and still. And after you've felt that very deep calmness, then, he said, step number four, simultaneously focus at the heart center and at the Christ center, simultaneously. And this step five, then ask God to direct your intuition. These are very good steps to use. There was, so often we need to practice these things when it's easier, rather than waiting until the major issues and challenges and problems in our life come. We need to practice them, as I think it was Lahiri Mahashaya said, practice it in the summer of your life. So when the winter of your life comes, you'll be ready. There was a lady many years ago who came to the Expanding Light and said, I'd like to learn meditation, but I'm really not interested in practicing it. I just want to have it so that it's there when I need it. And, you know, that's not really how it works. We need to practice it all the time so that it is there when we can have it. I was recently reading one of the last chapters in the Autobiography of a Yogi, and it's when Yogananda had just came back from India in 1936, and he had brought all of these different presents back for his friends and disciples, trunkloads of presents. And at Christmas that year, he was handing them out to the disciples. And so there was one disciple who came up to receive his gift from Yogananda. And Yogananda said, I got this gift for you at a bazaar in Calcutta, and I really felt that you would like it. He gives the gift to this man, and the man just got very inward, and he couldn't speak, and he just pranamed to Yogananda and walked away. A while later, he came back to Yogananda, and he explained why he couldn't really speak at that moment. And he said, when I was 5 years old, I was drowning, and right before my friend put down a branch to save me, I saw this great light in this beautiful face. Years later, in 1893, I was in Chicago with my mother. I think it was the Parliament of World Religions, I think. And I saw that same bright light again. This is when he was 17. And accompanying that same bright light was a man, Swami Vivekananda. So we went to hear Swami Vivekananda speak. And afterwards, I was just so soul stirred by what he was saying. I went up to speak to him afterwards, and I just couldn't speak. I was so moved by him. And I wanted to say, you know, will you be my guru? And I couldn't say it. And he intuited what I was saying, what I wanted to say, and he said, I'm not your guru. Your guru will be coming to you, and he will give you a silver cup. And so many, many years later, in 1936, this is from 1893, Vivekananda said this, in 1936, Yogananda gave him that silver cup. And so it is, this is just, this cup is such an analogy in many ways of, we're trying to figure out our lives. And we're trying to figure it out just with our reasoning, with our minds, and the way things have done with the past, in the past. But if the cup is so full, the wisdom and that grace of God cannot fill us. So let us empty our cup of our consciousness so that, as Swami Vivekananda said to this man, Yogananda will give you a cup. And then he paused and he said, and more than that silver cup, he will fill the cup of your consciousness with more blessings than you could ever receive. God bless.
The secret of laughter lies in the laughing, not in the search for joy. It's a swallow winging on the wind, it's innocence in a boy. Lululero, lulululi. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Lululero, lulululi. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Joy in the singing, not in the song sung, welcome but never crave. If you think that laughter lies in things, to things you'll be but a slave. Lululero, lulululi. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Lululero, lulululi. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Joy in the giving, not in the gaining, grasp and you'll never sing. You can win the world and still be poor, win peace and live like a king. Lululero, lulululi. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Lululero, lulululi. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Sing when the sun shines, sing when the rain falls, sing when your road seems strange. In a tempest seize the lightning flash and ride the winds of change. Lululero, lulululi. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Lululero, lulululi. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Lululero, lulululi. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly.
The song is about intuition, and it's also St. Patrick's Day. It's about Ireland, called Emerald Isle. But it's about seeing God in everything around us and in ourselves.
Come here while I sing you
of emerald hills, of valleys and meadows so fair that all who have seen them have carried away memories in their hearts, friends, like the lilacs of May. Oh, my song is the story of the lilacs of May. My song is the story of deer on the hills, of larks that soar seeking the sun, of nightingales lifting the curtain of night, as with music they bring down heaven's blessing of light. Oh, my song is the story of God's blessing of light. Come join me in singing of that emerald isle, of flowers that like jewels besprinkle the lea, of waterfalls eager to embrace the wide sea, as we with our Maker united would be. As we with our Maker reunited would be. Sing you of emerald hills, of valleys and meadows so fair that all who have seen them have carried away memories in their hearts, friends, like the lilacs of May. Oh, my song is the story of the lilacs of May.